Catan's been my choice for years. This isn't just a thing. It's been
I'm not suggesting
for like a decade of Catan.
I got it! You ever catch a fly moment? Are we rolling?
We are rolling.
Hey, welcome to Loser Lee's Wrestling! Loser Lee's Wrestling. My name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with Moet Jazzwall. How are we doing, Moet?
Woo woo!
I'm here. I'm trying something new out. I went woo woo. I regretted it immediately. I'm doing okay. I'm never going to do that again.
No. Do it every single episode.
Woo woo!
Excellent, okay. Excellent. And my name's Red Jefferson. I catch flies on command. That was pretty impressive. I feel so good about grabbing that fly.
What was that? That was a fruit fly?
Yeah, it was a little shit. It wasn't those buzzy ones.
It was a little shit.
It was just a little fuck. Yeah, today's been good. Today's been positive. We've got positive things going on. And today is the woos and whats of AEW Dynamite. That's it's a segment that we're doing that's basically a best and worst. But we don't say best and worst because the last person who used best and worst is dead to us. He's canceled, right? Right, Moet?
I know. Yeah, you're talking about that idiot at Uproxx. That terrible website, terrible guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go with that. But we're doing our own thing because that's what we do. We're unique individuals with our own minds and our own values, Moet.
There you go. I agree. Okay. I like this. I like your energy tonight, Red.
Oh, thank you so much. Well. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, you better be subscribing. If you're just watching and not subscribing, you're stealing. And make sure to go on Instagram and like us there. And also go to Loser Lee's Pod on Twitter. And make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Otherwise, you're stealing. You're being a stealer. Why are you even on this? Go. We don't care. No, we care. I should not antagonize the fan base that we have. We love you. Woos and whats of AEW Dynamite, Moet, real quick overview. Did you like the show? Did you not?
Did I like the show? I don't know. I have a lot more whats than I have a lot more woos. Or I have a lot more whats than I do woos. I screwed that sentence up.
Wait, I have a question. I picked five of each.
I did too.
Okay, perfect. Oh, there was definitely a lot more whats than woos in this show. I really had to narrow them down. And I grouped them together. Moet, let's start off hot.
Yeah, a lot of weird inconsistencies in the show overall. It was a promo show. It just felt like it was just promos after promos. And I don't know. That can be a good thing, but I don't know. It just felt inconsistent. It was unequal.
Not a single segment. And I agree. Not a single segment didn't have a bad part in it.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Every single segment, even if it was good, there is an element of bad. And I think we're going to talk about that a little bit with our woos and whats.
Because a lot of my things were promos. So not to say that they're all bad. But anyways, let's get into it.
Moet, I want you to give me the first big woo of the night. Let's start off hot. Let's start off positive before we dissect.
My favorite thing of the episode was the melodramatic Young Bucks promo with Hangman Page at the end. And connecting that with, I guess, how he... cheated to let the other team win, or I guess to have the Young Bucks lose in their match. Connecting that whole storyline, I guess. So we can talk about that match or the promo. But I love the promo. I love the screaming. I love the broken glass mirror, and he's standing there, and you see his fragmented face, the symbolic of his fragmented lifestyle and his drunk ass tendencies. It's great.
You know, I like everything you just said about it, but this was almost a what for me because Hangman looked like a dipshit and Young Bucks looked like wieners, like total wieners. Like I felt like no one looked good in that backstage segment where he's just he's drinking his thing and he's just standing there being berated by these weenies and they grab the drink out of his hand and throw it in his face and he does nothing. What a dipshit.
It was like a soap opera. I loved it. I'm gonna be honest. It was also very close to a what for me, but it was that broken glass, that broken mirror imagery, the fake punch sound off screen that happened. Sure. I think that I'm a big fan of these sort of melodramas that go over the edge when like it goes into like borderline absurd territory, but it's all emotion. You know, they're wearing their emotion like in front, all out there.
if you're going to go for the melodrama, you have to go further. I don't think they went far enough. I want tears. I want tears in those weenies' eyes. I want the Young Bucks to be bawling. Because Nick kind of, who said it? I think it was Tony Schiavone's like, Nick started tearing up there, Jim.
I guess, I think it was so over, it was overwhelming to me from like where they went that, like, I think it was a good enough jump. Like, I was shocked that they would even start screaming like that. Like, and you're out of the elite. Like, it was insane. Should we explain what these sequences are? Like built so people that may not have seen the show yet, or I don't know. How do we?
That's interesting. That's interesting because
nobody, if they hadn't seen the show, nobody knows what I just said.
Man, maybe we should start giving context right before we say the what, the woo and the what.
Yeah.
Like maybe just like, well, we could say the woo and we could say the what, but then we have to be like, well, this is this, and that's why I think this is the thing.
Bacon, if you're listening, please tell us what to do. Please guide us to be better video podcast YouTubers, please.
We need you to sound off in the comments section. Let us know what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. Bacon, you're our focus group.
Yeah.
You're our focus group right now. We love you, Bacon. We love you so much, Bacon.
You like him a lot. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. That's true. When we first start bringing out t-shirts, they're getting the first batch.
Yeah.
We're going to send – they're getting one for free because Bacon's the first. My first woo of the evening, FTR satin jackets. FTR and Tully came out to the ring in matching satin jackets, and that made me so freaking happy that they all had their names on it. You see Dax and Cash and Tully. It said Tully on there.
Yeah.
Boy, was I pleased as punch. I love the pairing. I love the pairing, and I love uniforms. Yeah. I love uniforms.
They won the tag team gauntlet, so they're, I guess, wrestling for the titles at All Out, Hangman Page and Kenny Omega versus FTR.
I suppose so.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a big, yeah. And they came out looking like a million bucks with those jackets.
A million bucks.
Yeah.
Do you like uniforms in wrestling? Like, like matching tag outfits?
Yeah. Does anyone do that now? I guess besides, like, Dark Order has the masks. Are there any, like...
Young Bucks?
Yeah, when they do. Yeah, yeah.
Young Bucks wear the similar uniforms, similar to each other. New Day.
If you're in a tag, oh yeah, if you're in a tag team or stable, it's nice to have some uniform, you know.
Otherwise, you just look like two single wrestlers thrown together. I want to see your collaboration.
I want to see more collaboration in real life. This is something that I think we could do in real life. Like, we should be wearing leather jackets together or big, you know, parachute pants or something. I don't know, whatever our thing is. Cool.
We should wear uniforms when we come on these shows. We should coordinate to find out what we're wearing that day.
Because we're essentially a tag team. That's kind of...
We're the Pencil Neck Geeks.
Yeah, yeah, that would be what our name is.
We're the Shit Heels.
That's if we were wrestlers, I guess. Like, if we were in the ring. Or is that just who we are in our lives, Pencil Neck Geeks?
No, that's us in the ring, I was assuming.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. Yeah.
A couple of baby faces. A couple of faces. What is that? A couple of faces? A couple of heels?
I like Pencil Neck Geeks personally. But yeah. Yeah.
A couple of Pencil Neck Geeks, like Enzo Amore would say.
We need a nice outfit thing.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, sound off in the comments, Bacon. We need you. We need you more than ever. Moet, what's your big first what of the night? Your first what?
We're going back and forth? Okay. The Dark Order came out for to celebrate Brody Lee's championship win from last week. Evil Uno came out first and talked about some that they just bought. Everything they did with the money that they won by winning the TNT championship, I guess. That's what it was, right? So they bought some lawnmowers. They bought a nice car. They brought out a coffin with another Dark Order member in there. I thought it was all shit. The whole sequence. I'm just putting the whole thing in as one big thing. Because I initially was just writing out one little thing at a time. Like the lawnmower thing. That was dumb. No, this was dumb. But, yeah. I guess
the whole shebang.
It all culminated in Brody Lee coming out. He cut like a pretty decent promo. It was perfectly fine. Wasn't standout. Nothing. I mean, I didn't hate it. It's a thing. It just didn't do anything for me. But then, let's see, who was it? It was Scorpio Sky. Well, it was first Dustin Rhodes, QT Marshall, Scorpio Sky, Matt Cardona. They all came out and attacked everybody. And I guess they're just setting up another multi-tag match next week. And I know, and that was that got on my list. That was on my list because I know I've argued for multi-tag matches. I'm fine with them in general, but this one really bothered me because it felt so forced. Because I don't know why Scorpio Sky was there, and I don't really know why Matt Cardona there. That it was there. It was kind of a flimsy logic that he's like friends with Cody. That's my
rant. Not trying to defend. I can't defend the first part. I cannot defend Evil Uno talking about lawn. I don't understand lawnmowers. I don't understand what that was referencing. Maybe I missed something. I'm being the elite.
Being the elite. Yeah, it was a being the elite reference.
Then that's stupid. I'm sorry. You should not reference, like, being the elite should reference Dynamite, not the other way around. Mm-hmm. Not the other way around. Because you're asking your audience to sit through that 20 minutes of drivel.
Well, my problem is, like, I enjoy being the elite, but you're right. There is like a weird balance where, like, it's like I'm comfortable with Dark Order being goofy Muppets on being the elite because it's sort of like a sketch show. Right. But they came off looking so sinister last week. Like, they finally brought this like dark energy, no pun intended, but like this energy that like, oh, they're a threat now. They can be a big deal. And then this is the first time, as far as I know, where they've come out on Dynamite as their goofy personas, where John Silver does like a silly thing and gets hit. And then like the lawnmower thing where, you know, that was like a throwaway line. It's like, what'd you do? Like, I bought lawnmowers for everybody, you know? And so like, it just doesn't work. Like, you just dropped all like,
it feels promise. Like inside baseball. And also it's kind of like when, remember Heat and Raw and Heat was on Sunday. Raw was on Monday.
Oh yeah. Halftime Heat.
Heat can talk about Raw, but why the hell is Raw talking about Heat? Mm-hmm. You know, it makes no sense. No, like, it's less viewership. It's not a bigger profile. It's YouTube versus, you know, a national cable network. I don't know. No, I don't like inside baseball. But to talk about the end when Matt Cardona and QT Marshall and all those people, I kind of liked it. It's not a woo. It is not a woo. But I was like, first, Dustin came out, got his ass kicked. QT Marshall got his ass kicked. Matt Cardona comes out. Now the odds are a little even. If there's more people, Dark Order becomes less effective because they are, for the most part, jobbers. When the numbers, they're very dangerous. But when the numbers get even, then they're at risk. So I kind of like that. I kind of like that a little bit. And I don't know what the hell are Dark Order there for unless to have 8-man tag. That's what they love there. That's their only fucking thing they do there. That's their Hell in the Cell is an 8-man tag.
I did, one thing I did enjoy from that was they did, Colt Cabana did some really good like character work, like storyline progression for him in the background. Did you notice any of that?
I noticed a little bit of it, but I have a question. Do you think that would have been a better, more fun promo if Colt was the one giving it?
Oh, instead of Uno?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I was thinking that the entire time. I want Brody to be the leader, Colt to be the mouthpiece, and Evil Uno to be the administrator of evil. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's why his name is Uno. He's number one. He's next in line with the mic. So like, and plus Colt isn't part of that yet. He's still
that's
kind of on the fence.
That's really pissing me off. I really want some less ambiguity with Colt Cabana.
Yeah, they got
Anna.
I agree with that, but at least they got Anna Jay now. And I was worried Anna Jay was doing the same thing. She's in it now, and that feels good. They get in another female member, Tay Conti, I think her name is. They were like a tag team in the tournament. They seem to really click well together. So
I'm excited about that. And I'm excited about them and focusing on women, trying to recruit women, making women a bigger part, a more important part of the show. We're going to get to that in a little bit because I think we should talk more about the women in tonight's show. My first what of the night, gauntlet matches. Mm-hmm. Gauntlet matches across the board. I have a big problem with them, especially if they're for a championship opportunity, because the first team is always at a disadvantage. Always at a disadvantage. And it doesn't seem like a fair way to do it. It just seems stupid. I feel like gauntlet matches are for heel general managers to throw on a babyface tag team or a babyface thing. Kind of be like, oh, you think you're so tough? I'm going to punish you by putting you in a gauntlet match. Who's punishing Young Bucks where they have to start this fucking thing? I don't like that.
Who did they wrestle first? I'm trying to remember.
Versus QT Marshall and Dustin.
That's who it was. I just forgot for a second. Who
Dustin, for some reason, begged off for a second. Just like, I can't breathe. I'm too tired. Hated that.
That was dumb. He did that before. I remember he's done that earlier at some point in some match with the Young Bucks. And it worked. Like, it was. I think it was a timing issue. Because when he did it, I remember the first time I saw him do it, it was funny. It was sort of a funny gag where he's like, you know, old man tired. This one, he like stopped, and then it was just like a weird, it just didn't work. I agree with
you. I just wish he used it as a heel shit, you know, like begged off, I'm old, please, like, punch him.
Punch, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been good.
That was almost a what for me, the gauntlet match, because that was another thing that felt forced. I don't know why they would need to do that. Like, FTR is already the number one ranked team, so why do they have to do this whole shenanigan thing? But I did enjoy the storyline that they created for that. I did enjoy how they, like, as a story, this long-form gauntlet match, they did a really good job of setting things up, of, like, the best tag team happening to be, just through circumstances, ranked fourth. So they do have to build up, you know, Dustin, for instance, and then Dustin being old, so it makes sense how they beat them. The best friends, Chuck Taylor, like, messing up his leg or his knee at one point and getting hurt, and so that's his downfall in FTR's match. Like, there are all these little things that kind of build around to a strong narrative.
Yeah, well, that's like we mentioned before, there's some good, and there's not a single segment that's just good in the show. There's always a little speckling of weird. What's your next woo of the night, Moet? What else made you woo during the show?
It's number two. Building up the Casino Battle Royal into a must-see match. I was impressed, because this is going back to Jericho being a master at that, of how he got us all to give a shit about Orange Cassidy matches with him. The Mimosa Mayhem matches, I don't care about that as much, but I'm excited.
I'm super excited for that. I love the idea of a mud wrestling match for men.
But yeah, and so like Casino Battle Royal, I forgot that was going to be a thing. And last year's Battle Royals like didn't matter. They were just like a fun sort of match that like they, you know, there was a big prize at the end. But it was just kind of a silly thing where you see a bunch of wrestlers that you like. But this one, they did a good job of making sure every wrestler, they announced how many, like probably like seven. Oh, I mean like seven or eight members they announced.
Today. Or
participants, and almost all of them had a great promo of and just put over the Casino Battle Royale and how big of a deal it is and how like there's already feuds going into the Royale. Lance Archer versus Brian Cage that's going to be kind of an interesting thing to see. Those two, they both kind of announced it. Eddie Kingston announced all five dudes and his little stable that he created are going to be in it, and he keeps doing that like cartoonish wink every time he talks about him. So like I'm wondering if this is his big plan, is to get them to the end of the match and then he throws them over or whatever and he wins it. Like, I don't know. There's fun.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot of
moving pieces, and it does seem like they're being more excited about building their match types. This is their Royal Rumble. This is their Royal Rumble. My next woo of the night is the promo for Thunder Rosa and Shida. Oh. That promo with the NWA champion versus the AEW champion.
Yeah.
Did you see that? That was a what package.
That was a what for me. That was a what for me, Red. Yeah.
Lord, we're going to get...
Again, good things and bad things in that one. Yeah.
Why don't we I will talk about it after the show. I loved it because it made it seem important. It made women seem important. It made the titles seem important. I love the idea of cross promotion with the NWA. I thought that was super cool. Billy Corgan. Billy Corgan started talking.
Okay. No. No. I mean, good things. Yeah. Cool package. I'm excited that NWA and AEW are working together. I think that's really cool. I like that Thunder Rose is in here because she's an amazing competitor. But you have a contract signing for the men's championship live.
Let's not jump to them.
But I, yeah, sure. But I'm just saying, just you give them whatever 10 minutes or however long it was. You also have a women's contract signing, and it's given 30 seconds of the act. You know, you don't get any drama. You just have it's nothing. You're just putting over NWA essentially.
I think you're right. I think the contract signing went a little bit too long. I think this should maybe have been 2-3 minutes longer, but I still love the presentation. I love the grandeur of it. Champion versus champion, making it seem like a big deal, even though they didn't allot a lot of time, which is a big issue for women on this show.
They made the match feel like a big deal. I'll give you that. They made the fact that a champion versus champion style match. I think that is cool, but I think I'm just salty about the women's division right now. I think I'm just a little annoyed, and it's going to take a lot to get me on their side the way the men's division has.
Your next what is it going? Let's talk about your what with the Sheeta Thunder Rosa.
Oh, that's not night five. That was a random what.
Gotcha. Past what? Yeah. Decidedly not what.
Yeah, it's not top five, but it was. I wrote it down on my list of like, this sucks, but it's not. It didn't make the list at the top five.
Then go for your next one. Your next what?
Shit. What are we on? We're number three?
You have to get a piece of paper, Mowat.
Why? Does this look unprofessional?
Yes. It drives me nuts.
I wrote on a piece of paper, but it was that annoying. Because
whenever you look at your phone, I think you're looking at texts.
No, it's my
I know you aren't. I know you aren't.
It does look really like, what?
Yeah, it does.
My bad. I live with it, okay? Just deal with it. This is how the show's gonna go. Okay, I'm gonna be
storylines. This is gonna go into our storylines now. You see that? Moa keeps looking at his phone during. That's gonna be my inner dialogue.
That's good. Number two that I see, Moxley versus the Law. That was my what? Which actually? Oh, this is a great transition. The contract signing.
MJF. Moxley versus the Law. Repeat. What do you mean by that?
MJF did the contract signing with Jon Moxley. We could talk about that, but essentially at the end, when Moxley signs it, MJF's side starts laughing and they're like, "Oh, I can't believe you signed it," which is confusing because like why you make it made it feel like maybe something they added in was shocking, but then Moxley was like the cool guy. He was like, "Oh yeah, you didn't read page 17, huh?" I'm like, "What? What's in page 17?" Oh, page 17 means I get to fight your lawyer friend, and I get to use a paradigm shift. And then they scream Moxley versus the Law, and then MJF is shocked. Why does he care?
So you didn't like it. You didn't like that segment.
Oh no, I liked. I thought the promos were good.
Oh, so you just didn't like the ending of?
Yeah,
that
the
segment.
Promos were good. Maybe a little long or whatever, but overall they were fine. But I didn't like the stipulation. I thought that was a stupid stipulation.
Yeah, it's very dumb stipulation.
Because
very dumb stipulation.
I don't know why Moxley cares. I don't know why MJF cares about it. I don't know how Moxley thinks that's doing anything for him. It's like Britt Baker doing the same thing where she throws in Reba.
You're not realizing MJF's feelings. He loves his lawyer. His lawyer is his best friend. And maybe they didn't paint enough of a picture for you, Mowat. But wanna what? Sometimes we don't want our best friends to get neck issues from the paradigm shift. How would you feel if me and you working together, we're talking to Jon Moxley, and Jon Moxley's all of a sudden like, "Red, I'm not going to hit you with a paradigm shift. I'm going to hit Mowat with a paradigm shift. You don't expect me to be angry or upset or hurt?"
No, you would. I mean, I'd hope you would. I would hope
exactly.
You'd be upset, yeah.
Now, if you take MJF into context, he has no friends, but he's with this lawyer who's super defensive of him. His lawyer's his best friend. His lawyer's his only friend.
No, he doesn't.
And now,
He's got Wardlow, and he's got like eight people. But are they? I'm also not his friends.
Not his friends. They're his employees. The lawyer. He confides in. Where do you think he gets his legal advice? He's not asking Wardlow. Wardlow doesn't know anything. I'm not even convinced that Wardlow. I don't know. I have nothing.
What?
I was going to speak English, but I've heard him speak, so I didn't want to lie.
Well, but he's, unless that's his way of showing love, is being a complete shithead friend. Like he's constantly making fun of them and screaming in their faces and telling them to do what's up. But maybe he just cares a lot. Maybe is that what you're getting at? Is that he?
Maybe you just don't understand his love language. His love language
is hate.
MJF's love language is hate. It's absolutely.
Yeah.
It's quality, like, you know, it'd be this quality time, this acts of service, touch. His is acts of hate. Acts of hate. It's the sixth one.
Well, I actually never thought of it that way. I guess I'm so far removed from love languages that I didn't realize that could potentially be a love language or an act. Who am I?
Who hurt you, Moet?
Who hurt me? We're not getting into this. We're not doing this right now.
Next, my next what is Jake the Snake, Taz, and Darby Allin segment bothered the hell out of me because here comes Lance Archer, comes around, has a really, I loved it. I loved him beating the shit out of this kid. Then Jake comes out and he gives a pretty good promo and I enjoyed it. And even Jake on the outside of the ring, sitting down, laughing when he picks up his head. I loved it. Loved every second. But when Taz comes out, Jake the Snake goes into business for himself and starts talking over his entrance by calling him the Flintstones. And then when Taz starts talking, he interrupts him. Jake was just getting his shit in and it pissed me off because is that the first promo that Jake's ever done? When he's against someone, you make the other guy look like an idiot? That's not the purpose. And then the sound guy, who was ever working the sound, was supposed to interrupt Taz. And Taz was just waiting for the interruption so Darby Allin could come out. And then Darby Allin and Ricky Starks have this awkward, awkward fight where no one stops Darby Allin. No one stops Darby Allin, this small little child, from attacking their friend. It's insane to me that any of that happened. And then Jake the Snake is holding back Lance Archer by putting his butt in him like he's Shaq guarding. Like, it's so, so upsetting. I was I was screaming at my TV at Jake, specifically Jake, for ruining the segment.
Well, I liked it. Okay. I liked it, goddammit. I'll tell you.
Was that a woo? Was that one of your woos?
It actually was a woo. Yeah, that was number five woo. But everything he said...
Let's go straight to that after we've done discussing the why I hate it. No, let's talk about why you wooed it. No, let's talk about why you wooed it. I just gave you a full explanation of why it was terrible. How did you think it was good?
Yeah, it's actually kind of hard when you mention all that stuff. That was all garbage, right? It's not, a lot of it was like, oh, he's got a good point about that. I just like seeing... there's nothing redeemable after you mention that. I don't even want to defend it, really. I just like seeing Taz and Jake Roberts yell at each other. I thought it was funny personalities. But
when Jake was giving his promo, I liked his promo. I liked his promo before Taz came. When Taz came out, I was just like, awesome. Brian Cage, Lance Archer, Taz, Jake. Like, that's such a good fucking booking. I love it so much. And then Taz comes out there, starts chewing shit, and Jake fucking forgets that he's supposed to work.
It's exactly what you said. I like the first half because I think I was really like starstruck, I guess is the best way to say it, of seeing that group together, because it's a thing that I just felt like they were operating in different parts of the world of AEW. And so to see them together, like, oh yeah, I do want to see those two guys wrestle or whatever the hell is about to happen. But it did slowly just die out by the end of it. The Darby Allin thing, what a wiener. Like, such a weenie thing to do with the skateboard. And
he looks like the Young Bucks when he's doing that.
Oh, God.
A bunch of weenies. I think the Young Bucks are weenies.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, that is really funny that nobody stopped. I did like how he tackled Ricky Starks or something, whatever the first hit was, and his shoes go flying. They go flying out.
That was good.
And then I noticed.
And I like the fact that he wears loafers all the time and never wears socks.
Yeah.
And Ricky Starks.
Halfway, I checked Twitter during a commercial on the show, and he just tweeted out, "Where are my damn shoes?" And I just thought that was very funny.
That's pretty good.
His shoes got missing. Yeah, my my next woo, without meaning to do it, it's actually the MJF Mox promo. The first half of it, I enjoyed.
Blow it. That's my woo, my next woo, too.
Ooh.
That's literally my next woo.
Wow.
That's crazy. We've
That's
never had
very
this
exciting.
Happen.
Yeah, well,
never in the history of woos and whats.
No.
This has never happened. Never, ever happened. Moa, tell me why you love that first half so much.
Well, MJF is great. He goes a little too long. I think he kind of rambles, which is fine. But for one, it's nice to see MJF interact with the crowd again. It's good.
Yeah.
He's really good at it. They all did a great job. Everyone that had a promo tonight did a great job interacting with the crowd. But he was good at firing them up. Like, it was kind of a dull audience, but he made sure to piss them off. He kept like pushing buttons and making sure they would all in the service of cheering for Mox. Like,
yeah.
He kept kind of subtly forcing that on them, and I thought that was awesome. And but the main thing was Moxley's reply of like.
Yeah.
The paradigm shift, the whole thing is they're in the contract signing because they can't get a contract signing because he wants to ban the paradigm shift in this match and forever because it's a dangerous move. So Mox just hears all the reasons why MJF thinks it's a dangerous move. And finally, when it's his turn to talk, he says that you can't, like, if the what he doesn't realize is happening is if you ban this move, his most dangerous move, it's just going to cause him to be creative. And I love that. Forcing me to be creative. And then he kind of just throws in some things that he's so good at talking about like, of how he's going to, torque his limbs, break them apart, and all this kind of, fun vocab,
You're on point with that, because I thought that segment, because even him walking out with a walker, him getting into the ring, he does take a little too long with his promo, and he does talk about his hairline, which I thought was a low blow, but wonder what that works for MJF. But then he started like, he gets me. MJF and I have the same view on wrestling about New Jack and Sandman,
yeah.
And that's what he idolized. That's garbage wrestlers, hot garbage, he called them.
Yeah.
And then he went, and I loved that. And then Mox, I was not expecting this, because usually, before, MJF is just like, I didn't get you at first. Oh, I'm crazy. I'm this. And I was just like, that's what I think of John Moxley. I get that. And now John Moxley comes back, and I wasn't expecting much. I was expecting some dumb thing, but exactly what you said. The creativity and brutalizing. He got the point across. I would like to touch on what you mentioned before, because I didn't touch on it much. But the end segment with the lawyer and the contract. I am very forgiving of that segment, because it's law and wrestling, and law and wrestling has never made sense. The fact that John Moxley somehow slipped a paper somehow in there that they didn't notice or realize. I'm going to allow it.
Oh, yeah. That's not the part that I'm annoyed about.
Oh, you're annoyed that why he would want to match with the lawyer?
Yeah, because that, like, the slipping the thing in, that's a cliche, but cliches can be fun. That's totally fine. But it's more of, like, why, I don't understand the motivation behind that being a thing for either of them, really.
Moet, you've watched a lot of the AEW universe far more than I have. Has that lawyer ever been here before?
No, other than the last couple weeks or whatever, with MJF starting, it's like, no, just the whole.
Has he been there the past couple weeks?
He was there, yeah, just in the MJF political storyline thing. I'm pretty sure he's been in the background.
Has he ever talked before?
Yeah.
Did we ever know he was a lawyer?
I don't know if we knew he was a lawyer, but he has talked. Yeah, he's been he's in quick promos.
I think
he was like an interviewer to MJF at one point or something like that.
Because I was about to say, the only issue I have is before this, I've never heard this lawyer talk.
Yeah.
I've never heard this lawyer talk. And so why John Moxley's just like, yeah, this guy who's never talked, I have a feeling he's going to talk today and I'm not going to like it. So I'm going to fight him. This is the only time he was, and that does, but I'm going to be forgiving of it. I'm going to be forgiving because I'm excited to see that type of match. I'm excited to see John Moxley against the lawyer. I don't know why that's fun for me. It makes no sense. And it doesn't hurt MJF at all, except that's his best friend. And you should stand up for your best friend, as we discussed before, which is something I guess is foreign to you. If John Moxley wanted to give me the paradigm shift, you'd be like, oh, well, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to face him next Sunday for the championship.
Things matter. All right. All right. Fine. Whatever. What's
your next... what? What's your what?
My next what? The multi-tag match is my next what? The multi-tag match between FTR. Wait, no, not FTR. Whoops, I got distracted.
Butcher and Blade.
Butcher and Blade. Lucha Brothers versus Griff Garrison, Brian Pillman Jr., and whatever team. Who was the other team?
Brian Pillman Jr., Griff Garrison.
Yeah.
Joey Janela.
Joey Janela, Sonny Kiss. God, that was rough. Immediately ignore the rules. Immediately. Give it 30 seconds or so. It's immediate junk. I think because of FTR's involvement in AEW, I just can't help but notice it now. And just that they just, the Lucha Brothers matches, they just don't care. And it really takes me out of it and bothers me when I see that stuff. So that's basically it.
That was part of one of my woos, honestly. But we're going to get to that in a second. I'm going to skip over that for a moment. I have things to say about that, but I'm going to save it for my woos so I can argue about it. Next time we should just do, you were right. We should do the woos and then we should do the whats. Yeah. That makes sense. That just makes so much more sense. I'm going to go to my what. For Christ's sake. Thank you so much for sticking with us this long, Bacon. We love you so much. Loser Lee's Wrestling on Instagram and on YouTube and Loser Lee's Pod on Twitter. And like and subscribe us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, Bacon. Thank you, Bacon. Next what? Next what? And this is going to be a what for several weeks. That entrance ramp. That entrance, that thing that goes to the ring, and I know that's going to be there, and that's not specific to this episode, but boy, does it bother me. When Brody Lee is at the top of the stage holding the title above his head, and then Dustin steps out of the ropes and like stares at him, and they're 4 feet apart. They're 4 or 5 feet apart. And I'm just like, you are at a stadium. You are at a stadium, and you're using a quarter of it. You couldn't make the ramp a little farther back. Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, like maybe another 10 feet. Is that going to cost you money, AEW? Is that going to be that much of a deal breaker? You just get a person to make you a new ramp. That's just plywood.
Yeah, they're buying cars for everybody every week, so you can...
They got lawnmowers everywhere.
You got lawnmowers. You got a nice yellow car, whatever type of car that was. I don't know. It looked expensive.
Look, all the vehicles they have. A fleet of lawnmowers, a van that they're able to destroy at will.
They destroy.
They got lowriders. They got this weird truck that Butcher and the Blade stole.
Yeah, you got FTR's truck or whatever. They got
whatever
a truck.
They use.
You got Darby Allin's skateboards. You got all kinds of stuff.
Darby Allin has expensive skateboards.
They get expensive, Red. They get.
I'm sure
expensive.
They can. I'm sure they can.
Like $100.
What's your next woo? What you got going?
I wrote, this is fun. I didn't mean to do this. Talking about following the rules. God damn it. You got to follow the rules.
Are you me today?
I think we've just been doing this for too long.
We're going to call it quits at 7 weeks.
We become each other. Mm. Rick Knox, not counting the pin at first because rules need to be followed and refs should be allowed to not pin if they can't figure out who's legal.
Which one? Which match?
This was in the gauntlet match. This was best friends, and Chuck Taylor had a pin on one of the FTR members. I think it was Dax.
Stopped.
Yeah, it was like a shenanigan thing where they there was a blind tag that happened, I'm pretty sure. And Chuck Taylor had a quick pin on him, but Rick Knox didn't pin. It was actually kind of awkward where he just like stood there and just like argued for like maybe a second and a half, maybe 2 seconds, but a long enough time for you to be like, what? And then he just says, fuck it, and then goes down and counts the pin, and then it's a two count, and they continue the match. But what I think is happening, what happened was he didn't know who was the legal member. I think he thought Dax Harwood wasn't the legal man in that moment, so he didn't count the pin. I think he was trying to be like, that's not the guy. But he just went with the flow of the match more, because that's a tough position for a ref to be in, right?
Keep Mike Chioda there and have him train these goddamn refs. I swear, they all of them, even Aubrey Edwards, even though I like Aubrey Edwards, because sometimes she's fierce.
Yeah.
Sometimes she's fierce. But, like, I don't know, since she's gotten more personality work with Tony Schiavone, she's eased up, and I don't like that. Yeah. I want her to fucking pedal the metal, all the refs. That's a what for both of us. All the refs in AEW.
Yeah. Well, that was a woo for me, actually. But
that's a woo, is that he did that? Oh, that he realized.
I want him. Yeah, I want them to follow the rules. I want them, because at first it looked like he screwed up. But I think what it was they moved so. I think
now.
I think he probably just didn't see the tag or didn't understand what was happening, and he just went with it. And I think he should have stuck it out. He should have been like, no. Like, I think I want to say it as a woo to give him more strength, you know, to
you can't use woos like that. Here, hopefully he watches so he gets inspiration from this.
No, because it was great that he stopped, that he was like, no, and then he ended up doing it anyways. I guess you could call that a what, the fact that he kept going. I don't know, but I love that he stopped instead of just going for it and then continuing to make it like nonsense, like the multi-tag match happened later. Like, he had a moment where he's like, oh, it's FTR, so we gotta fucking follow the rules, and he tried. You know, and I think, I'm hoping this will continue. I'm hoping people, like, the refs will, like,
I'm excited for
check
trying.
Legal, man, you know, who's legal and all that. Does that make sense? I don't know.
No, it makes 100% sense, and I agree entirely. My next woo of the evening, let me catch this fly. Goddamn. My next woo of the evening, Moa, it's that 8-man tag match. I'm you today. I'm you, 100% you today. That 8-man tag match.
But...
because let me give you a pitch. Eddie Kingston comes out managing this, basically managing, even though he's a wrestler, he's leading this group of two tag teams that have nothing to do right now. They're not doing anything right now. He's managing this group. He comes out, gives a great promo in the back. All of it. They come out. They have this match, which... Griff Garrison used to be in my what's. Like, he was in my what originally, but I decided to, that was more of a joke what, because I don't really hate Griff Garrison. I think he's fine. But, like, it showcased them. It showcased the new guys a little bit. It went too long. I'll admit it went too long, and I don't like the rule breaking. But I like seeing exactly what Eddie Kingston said afterward. He's just like, you know, we're going to go into this thing. We're going to work together. One of us is going to win. There's a lot of great things. I think the good outweighed the bad from that pre-promo match and post-promo. I think the good outweighed the bad.
Interesting. So you were okay with the rule breaking, huh?
I'm not
okay
with
it. You're a little rule breaker, huh? You're pro rule breaking. Huh.
I'll throw this wine at you if it weren't ruining my computer.
Yeah, yeah, you should. But you're not going to.
No, we're not. I have no...
Because you follow the rules, right?
Shut up.
No, I'm trying. I'm reaching for it. That doesn't make sense.
Reaching for what?
To make sense of what I was going to say.
Oh, what do you mean?
I don't know.
I'm just trying to antagonize. We're doing great. This is our best show ever. Next up. Next what of the evening, Moet. What do you got? What do you got going for us?
Where are we?
The fourth to last.
Fourth one. Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara, tables match, perfectly fine. But the rule of offensively putting someone through a table is dumb. The shit's dumb. Should have ended during the commercial break. And then it should have ended when Matt Hardy fell through a table. It doesn't make sense. How do you say...
Wait, that's who fell first? Sammy
went through a table during the commercials.
During the commercial break.
Yeah, and then he busted his head open, which I didn't even see because I didn't think that was going to happen during a commercial.
And also, I saw that just at the, like, as it happened. And I saw Aubrey Edwards say it didn't count. I saw her motion for that. And I'm just like, did he just lose the match? Did he accidentally fall through a table?
Yeah.
And now that's what I immediately thought. I'm just like, oh, he accidentally. And she's just like, well, what? That was it. That was barely a break or something. But the idea that that's the rule of the match pisses me off.
Yeah, because then Matt Hardy fell through a table, I guess you'd say. He was going to try to jump onto Sammy. Sammy moved. And then so it showed that it was intentional when Sammy did it. Like when he got through, it wasn't like he didn't screw up earlier. Like they wanted him to do that. So that just made it confusing to me. Like, why would that be the rule? Why would that, like, wouldn't that be an offensive move to get out of the way to hurt your opponent? So they land through the, you know.
Well, now that we're talking, because I hated that when I saw that, because there's so many tables matches that literally end. That's a good way to end a tables match. You're going for a move. They move out of the way. You lose.
Yeah.
I like that. But if you're thinking logically, like about the sense of a table match, which makes no sense already, why would you even do a top rope move if there's a 50-50 chance you wouldn't be, like, you could lose from it? So the idea is like, oh, I can't lose if they move out of the way, so it's okay for me to do it.
Yeah.
But another issue, the reason why I think they did it, the reason why I think AEW did it, because they want more fucking tables to break. That's all they wanted. They wanted people to fall through a million tables. What were there, four table spots? Three, four?
Three, as far as I can count, yeah.
Yeah, at least three. At least three. And so they just wanted table spots, which I think cheapens it, so they shouldn't have that rule.
Cheapens it,
even though it makes more logic.
Well, no, yeah, it cheapens it because they don't seem affected by it. In the sense, like, you know, Sammy gets cut up, and like he got cut in like the side of his head, which looks.
Yeah, I think it was bad. An accident.
Yeah, yeah. So
he looked,
like,
at it like surprised.
But at least with Matt's version, when he goes to a table, he's up pretty quickly afterwards. Like he went, you know, he is fighting him again. So there's no like drama to the table itself. Like, and it happens so fast. It's like a less than 10-minute match where that all goes down. So I don't know.
I will say though, almost a woo for me, Matt Hardy. In this match, because I think this is where he needs to be as a wrestler. If he's going to continue wrestling, he should be in hardcore matches because he's still effective in them. It hides his weaknesses enough where he's still able to perform and do fun things and be able to be productive, even though he had trouble getting to the top rope, which was sad to see because he's got weird hips. Dude's got weird hips.
Oh, I didn't notice. That's sad.
Yeah, at the end, that was my biggest fault with the match, is that I liked the match up until the ending when it was so anticlimactic because Matt Hardy was about to go to the top, and then Sammy Guerrero is going to suplex him off, but Matt had trouble getting to the top because there was a table in the way and his hips are weird, so he can't really do it the same way. He has stenosis in his back, yeah. So his pelvis and his spine are fused together. And he's already got real wide hips, so he has to. It's really weird. Check it out again, because it was a poor finish to a good match.
Dang, that's sad. Yeah.
Shoot. My next what is a small one. It was probably missed by most people, but Jericho saying that he has the pencil. It was in the beginning of the night. Jericho says that he has the pencil, which is an insider term for he could book his own matches.
Oh, I didn't know what that meant.
And then JR is just like, well, the most powerful weapon's the eraser, which is also an insider term for I can erase you off the sheet. It's a booker term. It's an inside baseball. Made no sense to the casual fan. And I feel it was just unnecessary because it's basically saying, oh, we could do whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah. Yeah, they do which that a lot. Know. Yeah, that's yeah.
Yeah. And also, just real quick, JR is fucking calling the one woman a Jezebel a million times.
Ugh.
And saying that what's her name from Dark Order approached the other person about Dark Order, he's just like, well, they should be talking at the mall.
Oh god, yeah, he's gotta go.
It's getting worse.
Yeah,
what's your next woo, Moet? The last woo for you.
Yeah, I actually said all mine, which is interesting. I did. The last one was Jake Roberts versus Taz, but we already talked about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
My next one was Brody Lee's promo.
Yeah, it was good.
I was surprised because I've hated on him for several weeks, as we know. His his skills as a wrestler or person, but his mic skills, because I really hated them. But this one, I think I finally got what you were telling me, that this character is like this whiny character that's so angry and frustrated and takes it out on his people. I just liked it. I thought he was impressive. I appreciate his suit. What a great suit. I thought it was great. Do you have anything to add to that, Brody Lee?
Yeah, promo? I actually really enjoyed seeing this, like, Brody Lee interact with this version of Dark Order. I know I just got through talking about how much I'm annoyed by their, like, silly antics, but it was kind of interesting because I could see why he's always, like, screaming at them. It's not, like, an ego thing. It's he's dealing with stupid idiots.
Especially that short, bald-bearded one.
Yeah, John Silver,
and I love the fact that he beat the shit out of him. He's just like, get him back in line.
Oh, yeah, he's doing that constantly in BTE. It's actually really fun because he can't keep a straight face during any of the skits, and so they play into that where, like, he just... like, it seems to purposely antagonize him to get him to laugh, and then, like, screams at him, like, what? This isn't a laughing matter. What are you doing? And he's just, like, kind of giggling, like, uncomfortably. And so they play with that a little, I think, and it's
what's
fun.
His name? What's
John
his name?
Silver.
John Silver is absolutely the worst part of being the Elite. The absolute worst part. I can't stand him talking ever in being the Elite. I've seen 2 or 3 episodes now, the past 2 or 3 weeks. And he is so annoying. Everything he says, I'm so glad to see him beaten up.
He is, but I like seeing how much fun he's having. I don't know. That overrides it to me. Like, he's annoying for sure, but it is kind of, it's fun watching people corpse. It's fun watching them screw up, and then seeing how other actors, people around them, interact with that. Like, how do you handle that? It's fun. It's fun.
Wish him nothing but bad. Next, what's your last what of the evening, Moen? We're at the last what. We're coming to the end of the show. What are you thinking is the last what of the evening? What really got you towards the end?
The last thing was burying Penelope Ford in this women's match. It was stupid.
Moen, that is my last one as well.
Oh!
Let's talk shop. Let's talk shop about the fact that this was one of the worst handicap matches I've ever seen.
Again, not doing anything for the women's division.
Anyone. I'm sorry. I want to like Big Swole. And she was the best part of this match. But she doesn't know how to handle people. She doesn't know how to handle people that aren't at her level. And she's trying to get her shit in, but the other people aren't capable of taking care of it. Penelope Ford is a good wrestler. But why the hell is Rebel there? Yeah. Why the hell? There's so many great women wrestlers out there. So many great women wrestlers. And you're putting this person in there that has no experience, does not know how to do anything, messes up everything she does, and makes the person she's wrestling with look like shit.
Yeah. Apparently she does have sort of a history in like TNA, but
she's athletic.
I haven't seen any of it. I don't know what she does. It leads me to think that some of it's like acting, like when she's like struggling to get on the top ropes or whatever, but there were definitely like mistakes during the match that were just straight up mistakes, like just timing issues and whatnot that I saw that were just annoying. And plus, like, Penelope Ford had some momentum. She's doing well. Like, she shouldn't lose in a handicap match. The way she did.
She should have faced Big Swole.
Yeah.
Penelope Ford versus Big Swole. Why the hell is Rebel there? Rebel should not be wrestling at all. She is not at the caliber of any wrestler, anyone on the roster. And there's some rough ones on the roster. And she is not at the caliber of any single one of them. She's putting her opponents at risk. She's making the women's division look silly. But it's not her fault. I don't want to put the blame on her. Who's putting her in these matches? She may be a good personality. Maybe she was at Impact and she had a very fun personality, but she wasn't wrestling on Impact. There's no way they would allow her to do that on Impact. There's so many good wrestlers, and the Knockout division is one of the best divisions there are.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. We know who's doing it. It's Britt Baker. Britt Baker is being a bad friend by putting her assistant in every single time. So we got a good friend in MJF, if we're following this.
A great friend.
Who cares about his lawyer friend. And a shitty friend in Britt Baker, who throws her friend into the fire every match, or every chance he could get. So it's really Britt Baker's fault. But
what a Shakespearean tragedy.
But because Rebel understand that? When is she going to notice this? And that's where does that lead us?
But they're winning. So Britt Baker is some sort, I don't know what kind of Svengali she is. She has this gift where she's able to both abuse her friends and get what she wants. She's a warlock.
She's the top of the shittiest people.
She is the most shittiest person.
The ones that can succeed at abusing people.
She's Isaac Yankum level of evil.
Who did he abuse his patients?
Yeah, he's an evil dentist.
Did he abuse anybody? Who did?
Oh, sure.
Who else did he abuse?
The Hitman Hart.
Did he mess up Brett's? Did he breast up Brett's teeth?
He breasted him up. He gave him a full boob job. That's what he did because he's a doctor. He's a doctor. Imagine Bret Hart with breasts in that singlet. And he has these big fucking juicy breasts.
I love that that's a thing with Big E, that he's comfortable with it, and that everyone just keeps pointing out his
dude's boobs. Got tits.
Yeah,
dude's got tits, and also he's the most flexible man on the planet. Have you ever watched WWE Ride Along?
No, I haven't.
So Ride Along, real quick segue. New Day, we're in Ride Along. Xavier Woods driving, Kofi Kingston the passenger, and in the back was Big E. And Big E put his both legs on the side of each headrest while he's sitting, just stretching forward.
Oh, nice.
It was very impressive for that large-ass, bulky man to stretch like that.
Big E is the perfect man. He's...
Oh, he's such a sweet. He's such a
fucking sweet. He's got everything,
But Moet, man, what a night we had. Not a single thing was purely good, but there's some promise in a lot of things, right, Mo? What are you looking forward to next week?
What is happening next week? I'm looking forward to All Out. My first thought was a Casino Battle Royale. I'm excited about that, but that's not next week. What's happening next week? I don't know.
I don't know why I asked that. I have no idea.
I'm excited about the pay-per-view. They did a good job continuing to build up the pay-per-view with Jericho, Orange Cassidy, and all that stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Red. What the hell? What are you putting me on the spot for?
You're right, Moet. Why am I putting you on the spot? We had a great fun tonight, and we're going to be back next week for more AEW Dynamite. We're going to be reviewing with the woos and whats because it's so popular. We already see that the audience is clamoring for it. Bacon's been pounding on our doors for more woos and whats, and then we're going to give it to them. Give it to them. We don't know who you are.
We don't know who Bacon is, no. We
do not know who you are.
We're trying to be respectful.
We're assuming because your name is Bacon. But that's not right. We should not assume.
What, bacon is masculine now? What do you?
I think that
bacon does feel masculine. I'm going to be honest.
Bacon feels very masculine,
and I don't want to. Too.
I don't want to gender anyone, but bacon sounds very masculine. But you know what? We're going to be back next week. Please follow us on YouTube and Instagram at Loser Lee's Wrestling, on Twitter at Loser Lee's Pod, Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts at Loser Lee's Wrestling. Make sure to subscribe, right, Moet?
Yeah, you gotta subscribe.
Have you subscribed, Moet?
I've subscribed okay. I'm a big fan.
Be like Moet. And that's also going into one of our t-shirt designs. Be like Moet. And we're going to meet you back next week with more woos and whats and maybe some other things during the week because we like to give you content. We like content. We like to give it to you. Any last words, Moet? What do you got for us before the end of the day? Say it. Any sentence that comes to your mind. Go.
It didn't rain in Austin today. That's the end of the show.
That's the end of the show. See y'all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.